morning, Colorado Springs. I'm Angela Jones, and it's another brighter day in the neighborhood. I want to thank you for joining us. And today we have a super special guest, Jeremy Gomez of Man Cave Meat Company. And what's super exciting about this for me is Jeremy deals in exotic meats, exotic barbecue in particular, and as a non-pork eater, that's opened up an array of options for me. Welcome this morning, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me here.
So I came across your, it was actually a tent, not food truck, but I know you have, that's your basically food truck oriented, over at Sausage Fest not too long ago, and engaged with a couple of your guys who are cooking there, and was just astounded at what you're doing. It's so unique. So could you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah, as far as I know, I am the only one that specializes in exotic meats in Central Colorado, at least. When I moved here, I noticed, I was kind of shocked that there wasn't more than what I saw. I was like, you could find elk or bison. And I'm like, I expected more out of the Rockies. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
And so eventually I found Andy's Meat Market in Colorado Springs, and they have a good variety of stuff. And I was like, you know, someone out here has got to have this option. And I just eventually, what was it, about 2 years ago, I got a car accident and I was doing some construction work at the time. And I just decided that I was done with that and I was going back into food service. And I thought of the food truck idea a long time ago. I was in my 20s and I was in Connecticut walking down the street with my buddy. And I said, someday I'm going to do a food truck with exotic meats. And, you know, I just told my wife, I said, it's time to do it. You know, I don't want to wait any longer. And so here I am.
There you are. So you said you want to get back into the food industry. Tell me about that history.
Oh, I've been around food a lot of my life. My father had a pizza restaurant. I think it began in about 1983.
Wow.
He opened it and with his brother, and then it closed in the later 80s, I believe. Well, he didn't close. He sold it, moved on to other things.
So a New York pizza? What type of pizza?
It was Connecticut, just original crust.
So does
pizza.
Connecticut have a special crust or so? I mean, is there a Connecticut style? I know about pierogies and things like that, but
a lot of people claim it's in the water, that the flavor's in the water, and it's, you know, you come out, you know, I'm sorry, Colorado, but I've yet to find the perfect pizza.
Right.
You know, growing up in New England, it's hard to compare, you know.
Yeah.
The only ones we ever battle with out there is like Chicago or New York.
Right,
it's like,
right.
New York is a thin crust and Chicago's the deep dish. And then you got Connecticut, which, you know, they just have that. It's perfect right in the middle.
The
you
perfect
know?
Crust.
Yep. And I've yet to find anybody that can, you know, match it since we've moved here. But
it sounds like a challenge for local pizzas.
And they say it's the water. They claim it's the water. So we'll go with that.
Okay, so, I mean, because I would think you'd be able to import the Connecticut water for pizza.
I believe. I was told there's someone, I think, in Vegas that does that. But I haven't heard of anybody that's thought of doing that here yet. And I'm not getting into pizza.
Not getting into pizza. No, because meat's your thing.
Yeah, I guess
exotic
so.
Meat
yeah,
in particular.
I have fun doing it. You know, I like the look on people's faces doing when they try something they never had before, or you know, the kids when they get the frog legs or whatever it may be. Yeah.
So I'm from North Florida, so you know, and a lot of the cuisine in that area, they call it like cracker style. You know, Florida cracker, and that includes like your frog legs and alligator, things along that line. So in addition to frog legs and alligator and things like that, what type of exotic meats do you?
I do kangaroo burgers, ostrich burgers. I actually put both of those on the back burner because business is slowing down or some of my more expensive stuff. So right now I'm doing rabbit burgers, just pure ground rabbit. I do wild boar burgers. I've done duck. I mean, it just, whatever, if I think of something new, I roll with it if I can do it.
Is it almost always burgers?
I have brats, I have burgers, I do wild boar grilled cheese, which I use wild boar ham. I do corn bison Reuben.
Wow.
Like I said, I'm changing things up for the winter, and it's giving me time to get a little more creative with other products and see what I can come up with. And now that things are starting to slow down a bit.
So is it, so when I know you said you were kind of starting the food business, like because of your dad's restaurant, but did you, when did you really develop your love for creativity, like expressing yourself creatively through food?
I just think it kind of developed on its own over the years. I mean, I always enjoyed doing Thanksgiving and mm-hmm. things like that. And then I decided one day I wanted to go to culinary school. And so I went to culinary school and I learned that I knew a lot more than I did. I was kind of bored because I had already been working in the industry. You know, I've done fast food. I've done industrialized, you know, Lime Rock Raceway in Connecticut, you know. So many different areas of food service that I gained a lot of knowledge over the years. So I kind of found culinary school, some areas of it boring, but mm-hmm. other areas of it I learned I didn't ever want to do, like baking. That's a totally different realm, and that is not my, that's not my thing.
So, and I've heard that, like, this, you're either kind of a baker or you're a cook.
Yeah.
You know?
They say baking is a science and mm-hmm. cooking is an art. And so I'm more of the artist, I guess, because I'd rather have the flames in front of you mm-hmm. or, you know, just... I enjoy that side of the kitchen.
Yeah, doing it like more by feel.
Yeah, I'll use some recipes sometimes as a guideline. I never write anything down, so when I make mm-hmm. something, it's the same but different every time, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely.
It's like, yep, some of this and some of that and some of this, and it's just how I've always done it. I'm real bad when it comes to writing things down. I think we were talking about that earlier. I'm not good at it.
So, you know, I mean, and that's one of the things that, you know, I'm a baker. I tend to be a baker, but there are a few dishes that I make, and one of them is my chili, but it's always different.
And that's the way it is with me. Yeah. I always have exotic chili, and it's a way to for me to rotate my stock without losing money. Mm-hmm. And so my chili's always different.
Right.
But it's always the same.
Yeah.
But I've got different meats in there every time I make it, and the seasonings are generally always the same, but it's always a little bit different because it's always got something a little different.
Something new, something different in there. Well, that's interesting. So, all right, so you've mentioned Connecticut and living there and whatnot. So how did you make your way to Colorado?
My wife and I, about 7 years ago, tried to move to Alaska, and it was real expensive out there, mm-hmm. and... it got pretty cold, and it was just a little bit tougher than I was expecting. I didn't mind, but it was quite the adventure.
Yeah.
So after a couple months, I went back to Connecticut. We regrouped, and my wife and I just did not want to be there. We didn't want our son growing up there. It was just so overpopulated and everything else. And we were actually on our way to Phoenix to stay with my aunt and try and get a new start out there, and we never made it. We stopped in Colorado, and one day we took a ride up to see Cripple Creek, and mm-hmm. you come around the corner and there's the view, and we've never left. We've been here ever since.
You're not out there in Teller County like you're coming, you know, I think when you're talking about, because I have to go to court out there sometimes.
Yep.
You know, when you come out and it's right above
where
the gold mine is.
And the view's just ridiculous. And it was just one of those days where you could see for miles, and we just fell in love with it.
Right. And then you've got the Cripple Creek gambling scene.
Yep. Which I'm not big into, but there are a lot of people.
Do you know what I love out in Cripple Creek? And it isn't the gambling scene, because I'm not really that much into that either. Is there's, I think there's $1.99 breakfast that you could get still in
the... I think they have one. They used to do the 49-cent breakfast, but that one stopped. But I don't go into the casinos very often, so I'm not sure who does what nowadays, but it's a good draw for people. It definitely
is. And it's right next to where the courthouse is. So what I would always do is get out there. I was always worried about the pass, like how, you know, so I'd leave super early to get there for the early docket. And, you know, you go through there and get parked. And sometimes I'd end up with an hour and a half to kill, you know, before court started, because I left so early just in case of the roads or weather.
That's where the donkeys and stuff come in handy. You can spend time with them.
Exactly.
To this day, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I love the donkeys. They're one of my favorite parts.
It's super fun. It's super fun. And the aspens up in that area are just amazing. I bet they're looking...
Yeah, they're a little thinned out right now.
Are they thin?
Yeah.
Is it late? Did they turn
pretty
early?
Pretty much gone, yeah.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, it's starting to quiet down with the tourists up there now.
So is that good or is that bad for you guys up there?
For the locals, a lot of us enjoy the quiet time, but you need that revenue. You got to have those people coming up on those buses. Keep coming in to bring us the business, you know?
Yeah, that's
how we survive up there. There's nothing else. right. unless you work for the gold mine.
Right. So you have then made Colorado and particularly Teller County your home?
Yeah, that's just where we ended up. We started off camping, and from there we got a camper, and we spent our first winter in a camper. My son, I think, was four, and we spent our first winter roughed it out in Cripple Creek and at the RV park, and found our first house that spring, and it's been that ever since.
All right.
We got some land last year, and eventually we'll build, and yeah, we like it. It's just peaceful up there, especially coming from that East Coast. Fast pace, you know, it's a lot slower up in Teller County.
Relaxed.
Yes.
And yeah, you can really
yes.
kind of ease into
yeah,
living.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, you can breathe. You know, back east, we just worked so much. Mm. It was 6-7 days a week. You're always working. I remember going to Rhode Island on vacation and I had mm-hmm. the laptop with me, you know, mm-hmm. I was still working, you know, and I was just like, this sucks. You know, we had nice things and didn't get to enjoy them.
Right.
Worked so hard just to pay your bills. And mm-hmm. I was like, there's got to be, you know. It's a lot easier out here, you know, and you get to enjoy it a lot more. It's just so much more elbow room. There's so much land and things to do, and it's quite the tourist destination. It's almost like we live on vacation.
Absolutely.
You know, Colorado's definitely a gemstone that a lot of people don't realize is here. You know,
right.
even people that live here don't realize, some of them don't realize
just how great
how good
is.
They have it. Yeah.
yeah.
When you come from such an overcrowded place, and you right. find something like this, it's nice. You know,
it
it's nice to raise your kids in and stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and we have with us today Jeremy Gomez of Man Cave Meat Company. So what you're talking about, like that easier way of living, it kind of makes me wonder if that the name that you've chosen, you know, in addition to what you're doing, has, you know, kind of that has that same vibe, that man cave, like you're living.
It is. It's kind of like you just like my food. I, you know, back east, I have this saying where, you know, back east people live to eat, and out here people eat to live.
Yeah.
Just food is a big part of the world back east. I mean, you get a sub and it's humongous. You
right.
get, you know, everything you get, you're full all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you get. And then I moved here. I was like, this is not a sub. I'm like, this is so small. I'm like,
right.
people don't know how to eat here. And, you know, and that's part of the man cave. Everything's big and messy. And I don't
right.
want you to leave hungry. It's like hanging out in the man cave. You're going to need napkins. It's just, you know, it doesn't matter what you're getting. You're not worrying about your health. I mean, we have gluten. We have, you know, we don't do vegetarian specials. It's, you know, unhealthy
right.
somewhat. I mean,
right.
you know, the meats are mostly lean, actually,
mm-hmm.
surprisingly. But I kind of twisted a little bit to add that man cave feeling to it, where it's, you know, out of the ordinary, and it's good, and it's messy, and, you know, you just kind of forget about everything else for a minute other than what you're working on.
Right,
you know,
right.
so it just... And like I said, just doing the exotics, there's not many people out this way that, you know, specialize in that. And I like to see that look on people's faces when they get to try something for the first time, even myself.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I haven't had ostrich yet. And the first time I got it and I made some, I was like, why have I not eaten this my whole life?
Right.
I'm like, I'm eating cow. That's boring.
Right.
You know, but ostrich is just so much superior compared to that.
That's what I think I tried at the Sausage Fest, was like an ostrich sausage.
Ostrich with apricot and onion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think.
Yeah.
And I was just astounded. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. It's very much like beef. It surprised me how much it was like beef.
And so did you come up with that? The ostrich
yeah.
with the.
Yeah.
And it was apricot and onion.
Yeah. Caramelized
okay.
onions. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It just popped in my head and I rolled with it. And that was another thing. I didn't measure nothing. I just put it all in there and. You know, I did another one with kangaroo and garlic and rosemary, and mm-hmm. I don't measure. I just, yep, that looks about right.
And you do, and is it called stuffing the sausages? Is that what it's called when you make
some
sausage?
Of, yeah, the rope sausage or the
mm-hmm.
links. And I did some of it that way, and I was just like, it's all going to samples. I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
So I just gave up on that. I was like, I'd just
to
rather focus.
Ground.
Yeah, and I just did it to ground, and it kind of worked out a little bit easier for us because it was so fast-paced that day. There was so many people. I think we did about 1,500 samples in that
wow.
about, what, 2 hours span or so.
Yeah.
It was quite the, it was a blur.
It was a huge, there was a huge crowd there that was really great.
It was, and, you know, it was such a great event and good exposure for everybody, especially Sausage, Bree, and Nick.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. she worked real hard on that event. And, you know, next year she's already talking about, you know, making it like a full day event, having it bigger and better and more people. And, you know, that's just, you know, more money to raise for the Mount Carmel veterans and stuff, which was a good thing too.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Like your Man Cave Meat Company does support local veteran organizations.
Yeah, we give automatic discount to any veteran, active or retired, law enforcement, first line workers, anybody really, that makes a difference. I used to work with ambulance, fire department. My grandfather was a police officer. Mm-hmm. So my cousin's a police officer back east. So I support all frontline workers a lot. You know, they go through a lot of strenuous stuff. I learned that, you know, just doing ambulance and fire department. I lived through some interesting moments, and that changed me, definitely. So yeah. I understand kind of how they think and what they go through. So it's nice to just give that little discount, makes them feel like, you know.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, especially volunteers, you know. I like people that, you know, do volunteer stuff, you know, kind of little thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I think any of our first responders or people on the front lines or caring professionals, you know, in many ways, they're volunteering to do that kind of work for us, for the benefit of other people. And that's really the push behind, you know, the Brighter Day in the Neighborhood is to spotlight folks that are giving to the Colorado community and contributing in a unique way. And you most certainly are with these messy meals.
Yeah. Like I said, I get a kick out of it. I remember the first time I did frog legs this summer, I would think I was at Paradox Brewery in Divide.
Okay.
And a guy and his son came just to try them. You know, his son wanted to try them. And, you know, it was neat just watching him sit down and all excited to try them for the first time. And, you know, I figured that kid will never forget that, you know. So I like being a part of that, you know, that memory for them.
So with you having moved to Alaska, and I know that ended up being hard, what part did you... Were you in?
I traveled everywhere. I was there for a couple months. I started in Cordova. I flew into there. I have a friend who had a commercial salmon boat, so I spent a couple weeks on that. We spent some time in a remote cabin where the Exxon oil spill was. It was like a 10-hour boat ride.
Right.
Spent a couple weeks in a 100-year-old uninsulated cabin in March. It was quite the adventure, you know.
That was chilly.
Just the generator, you know, barrel stove. Had to get our own firewood. It definitely... Right. Test your limits and see what you're capable of. And it was fun. It was a great experience.
Did you go March, April?
I was there March, April.
Okay.
Yep.
So still very cold.
In spots, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was some rough spots. But then, you know, Anchorage is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Even in the winter, it was I would just walk the city every day.
Did you make it down on the Kenai Peninsula at all?
Nope. I did the... what's that highway? The Seward Highway.
Yeah, Highway.
I did the Seward Highway.
That's on the Kenai Peninsula.
Went down to Seward, and we did the Whittier Tunnel and Girdwood, Mount Alyeska Ski Resort. Yeah. We did all that stuff. I went out first for a few weeks, and my wife and son flew out with my father when he was still alive, and he toured with us for about 10 days, and then he flew back east, and we stuck around for a while and checked it out a little bit more. And yeah, that state is quite impressive.
It is. I go up to Alaska in the summers. I go up for a month, usually in the summer, salmon fishing on the Kenai River. So have you used any salmon in any of your exotic meat?
No, I haven't.
Because I've got about 200 pounds of fresh-caught salmon in my freezer.
Quite a bit. Actually, a couple of my customers came back from Alaska this summer and brought me some fresh I think it was the...
I've got halibut, too.
I think that's what they brought me is halibut, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many different options out there. I try to do things that people don't do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can go places in Colorado and, you know, everybody specializes in something. If you want your lobster, you've got Chef Bob's Lobster Trap, you know? And so I try to be... the place you go to if you want a kangaroo burger, you know, there's nobody else in town that you're going to go see. So if you want it, you've got to come here.
Bringing that special
and
stuff.
So I try to keep going more exotic, but it gets hard. It gets real expensive and, you know, you can get things as strange as camel burgers and, you know, python and bobcat sausage. I found some real weird stuff. It's just real expensive, and it's hard to push boundaries when you're like, okay, well,
right.
This is more high-end restaurant prices if I do this now, so it kind of pushes me back, so I got to get more creative with the things I do have.
Are you doing any catering?
I haven't done much catering. I've done some private things or, mm-hmm. you know, some events on my own, mm-hmm. but I haven't been asked to do much for catering yet. I've been asked if I do it, but yeah. I haven't really gotten into it.
Well, I'm starting
much.
To think there might be a good, like, sausage stuffing kind of thing that would be interesting for Thanksgiving. What's your typical Thanksgiving, you know, with all
I deep fry my turkey.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for it. I've been doing it for over a decade. My mother mm-hmm. bought me a deep fryer, and I haven't turned back since. Roast turkey's just boring to me now. If right. there's not flames and danger, I don't want it.
So we always had like a sausage stuffing with ours that we made outside the yep. bird. Didn't put it
well,
in
that
the
you
bird.
Have to do. Yeah. When, you know, and typically I spend so much time on the bird, I won't deny, I'll just go, you know, basic and do stovetop or something because uh-huh. you can't go wrong with them. But I have done my own in the past with sausage and cranberries and stuff. And, you know, that's one cool thing about it. You can, it seems like everybody's got their own way.
Kind of going,
comes,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to holiday meals, you know, family's got their recipes.
All right, do you remember, like, okay, you from being from the Northeast, the poutine, you've made that? Have you had that? It's cheese, it's cheese curds.
Yeah, on fries and
gravy.
Stuff. That's more, I think, like Michigan area.
Right,
and
right,
stuff.
Right. Well,
yeah.
And I had it in New York. I had it in upstate.
Probably upstate New York.
Yeah, upstate New York.
Yeah, that's not big in Connecticut.
No,
you
I
didn't
know
much
if you'd
of that.
Ever done that.
No, I've never gone that route. I have seen people in the Springs that do it. I don't remember who, but
yeah, I think that was interesting because I think I had a Thanksgiving poutine one time that okay. That came with sort of the turkey and I think it was mashed potatoes. They didn't use fries, but like mashed potatoes and the gravy. But I think the cheese curd is really the
that was the twist
star of the show there.
Yeah, no, that's different. I haven't heard of that one before.
Yeah, yeah. So where is it that people can come and enjoy some of your...
You can follow me on Facebook. Okay. Generally, I try to post at the beginning of the week. We just took a couple weeks off. Just getting back at it tomorrow, as a matter of fact. But I generally post at the beginning of the week where I'm going to be for the week. It's starting to slow down now because of the seasons and driving from Teller County, it's a little rough getting through that pass sometimes to get to Colorado
right,
Springs.
Right.
So I've been somewhat hesitant on scheduling and watching in the weather and, you know, making that decision of what I'm going to do this winter. If I'm going to, you know, hang up the hat for a couple months mm-hmm. and just ride out the colder weather and then kick the lights back on come springtime or not. Or
so any festivals or concerts coming up that you can think of?
I've got some neighborhood, like Wolf Ranch neighborhood mm-hmm. I'll be at tomorrow with
nice.
Cluckin' Chicken Food Truck will be there. Crepes and Go will be there.
Right.
I don't know if there's others there were supposed to be, but I think they backed out. But I like to do the neighborhoods because you can catch a lot of people in one shot. I like to do the 719 Food Truck Fest on Woodman
right.
With Cowgirl Cattle Corn runs that one. Mm-hmm. They're a great mm-hmm. bunch. And you get to work with all the other food trucks and that's great because if you have different cravings, that's the spot to go.
So besides your own, what are some of your favorite food trucks?
Oh, I'm actually headed to one as soon as we're done today.
Okay.
It's Tepix.
Okay.
He does the birria tacos, which mm-hmm. I'm a junkie for. I
uh-huh.
can't say no to him. I'll drive all the way to the Springs for him if
wow.
if I'm having that craving. He hits the nail on the head with that. He does some amazing stuff, Crepes and Go that I'm going to be with tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Are these traditional French crepes?
Or I think they are.
They're just good.
Yeah, Sergio does good work with them. He does such a variety. He does savory and sweet ones, and
uh-huh.
you know, I'll usually get just berries and whipped cream on
ooh.
A crepe, and I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
You know, you could run over my dog and hand me a crepe, and I'm happy. You know, it's
right,
one of my favorite
right.
foods. I like Chef Bob's. You know, there's so many of them
and that was
out
lobster,
there.
Right?
Yeah, he
yeah.
does. And he ships it in fresh from the East Coast, picks it up from the airport.
I think he's sometimes up at Black Forest Brewery.
Probably.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Tepix is up at Black Forest.
Yeah, that's
I think he
my
was there yesterday.
Yeah.
yeah he's
mm-hmm.
at Storybook today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go chase him down.
Nice.
I had Stump Dogs hot dogs for lunch today because
right.
I don't get in the town much and I don't do fast food. So. You know, when I'm in town, I go to the food trucks. They all put that extra heart into what they do, and they all have that specialty that they work on. You know, you have Rotisserie, it's veteran owned. He does rotisserie chickens. You know, my wife and kids love it.
Yeah.
It's affordable. It's, you know, good. And, you know, you can get a whole meal for the family. And plus you're taking care of a veteran who helped take care of us at the same time. So, and that's something, you know, we discussed before that, you know, I'm strongly a believer in, is taking care of, you know, especially, you know, guys like that.
Well, I want to just thank you so much for joining us here today. And I know you said that everyone can follow you on Facebook.
Facebook. And when I remember, I'm on Instagram. There's the Where's the Food Truck app that's free on Facebook. A lot of us forget to log in and say that where we are, but some of us do try and remember to activate it. And that's a good one for people to try and find other trucks that are nearby.
And they should just look for Man Cave Meat Company
on
Facebook?
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that's us for another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. Thank you for joining us. You can find us here at the same time and station each week. And until next week, wishing you brighter days.